Our sermon today is based on a reading from Malachi, chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. He says, "Will anyone rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how are we robbing you? In your tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and thus put me to this test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing." Thank you, God, for times when we can joyfully celebrate our past and look forward hopefully to our future with you. I want to thank everyone who shared pieces of our church's history this morning as we look back over the past 70 years. We're thankful for the intrepid people who had the audacious idea of beginning a new church. We are thankful for all the ministers who we mentioned by name and for their service to their church. I happened upon something wild and amazing and affirming as I was reading about our history and counting the years that I have been here at First Christian Church Ruidoso. I will begin my 7th year as your pastor next month. I preached my first official sermon here on November 10th, which is my granddaughter Poppy's birthday. She will be 3 this year. Who knew when I first came out here that only a few years later, on the very date that I preached my first sermon as your pastor here, who knew that I would have a granddaughter on that date? Frankly, Dan and Whitney, her parents, certainly didn't know. And frankly, I was starting to wonder if they were ever going to have kids. But I didn't say anything one way or the other. Have kids, don't have kids. Who knew Poppy was coming? God knew. So if I ever wanted an affirmation and a wink and a nudge from God that this was the right place to come to, for me, that's it. Also, as I was thinking about the church anniversary and my anniversary, it occurred to me 7 years is a tenth of 70, and a tithe is a tenth of all our blessings that we give to God. So, wow, I'm a tithe. The tithe is a very old practice, way older than even the Ten Commandments and the laws in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. In Genesis 14:18-20, we read, "And King Melchizedek of Salem brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. Melchizedek blessed Abram and said, 'Blessed be Abram by God Most High, maker of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.' And Abram gave him one-tenth of everything he had gained in his war against the kings who had kidnapped Abram's nephew Lot." Melchizedek is a mysterious biblical figure. According to the writer of Hebrews, Melchizedek's name means king of righteousness. As king of Salem, he is also the king of peace. The writer of Hebrews says Melchizedek was without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, and he remains a priest forever. In Psalm 110, which most biblical scholars agree is a poem celebrating the future arrival of the Messiah, even Jesus the Christ, it says, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." The word maintains that Jesus follows the ways and rituals of Melchizedek, for Jesus, like Melchizedek, brought out wine and bread to serve and refresh the guests at his table, first the disciples in the upper room, and now us. Melchizedek was a forerunner of Christ. His appearance shows us how appropriate it is for us to bring our tithes unto God. It is a way of showing gratitude to God for all that God gives us. I am grateful for my tithe of service here with you, but don't worry, I don't think God is finished with me yet. I'll be here yet a little while longer. Jesus spoke about the tithe in Matthew 23, scolding the scribes and Pharisees over the way they misused and abused it, calling them hypocrites for tithing mint, dill, and cumin, the smallest of herbs, but neglecting what Jesus called the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. "It is these you ought to have practiced," Jesus told them, "not herbs, these verbs, doing justly, showing mercy, having faith." In the coming weeks, we're going to be examining who we say we are as First Christian Church Ruidoso, what we believe as disciples of Christ in this particular setting, at this particular time, and what we want to do and how we want to be seen by this community, how we want to spend the next 70 years. What legacy do we want to leave, just as our 38 founders left us a legacy? What do we want to bring to Jesus, who is our Melchizedek, the King of peace and righteousness? Will we piddle about the little things, or will we strive to plant and sow the weightier things, justice and mercy and faith and fairness and honesty? That would be a great stance to take, to base our being on justice and mercy and faith and fairness and honesty. That can be our legacy. That can be our eternal tithe. I want us to hear God's clear promise to us, how God will reward us for our faithful tithing. Prove me now, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. God says, be bold, be brave, give without reservation, trust without hesitation, and see how I will bless you. When I read the words windows of heaven, I think of two things. I think of our big windows back here that give us a glimpse of the beauty and majesty of God's creation. It seems sometimes as though the mountains become part of our worship, don't they? And I think of Genesis 7:11. The scripture says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of heaven were opened. Once long ago, God flung the windows of heaven wide open, but for destruction and devastation, so that it rained upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights and wiped out humanity, except for Noah and his family. If that were the only reference to the windows of heaven we had in the Word, it would dampen our faith and make us leery of God. Is God going to do that again, open the windows of heaven and let it rain until we are all wiped out? Thanks be to God, we are shown here in Malachi that the windows of heaven can be opened for a good purpose, for the blessing and betterment of the people God loves, us. I tell you all the time, God isn't always looking to zap us for missteps and mistakes. God wants to pour blessings out upon us, blessings so abundant that we are overwhelmed and our cups overfloweth, and still those blessings pour forth. Of course, there are things we need to do as well, not just giving, but living in faith and trusting God to lead us to the next right big thing that we will do as God's church, in God's name and for God's glory. Our adventure is continuing. Even though 70 is the number of completion, we are just gearing up for our second cycle of 70. So let us be thinking about how we want, how God wants us to spend the next 70 years. Who will we reach out to? Who will find in us a haven and a welcome and a home? How will we deepen our roots and strengthen our presence here in Ruidoso? How will God bless us for our faithfulness? What good things will God pour out on us? Don't rob God by focusing on doubt and debt and dearth. God says, show me your devotion and I will show you mine. Showers of blessing. God challenges us. Prove me now. When we say, okay, God, do your stuff. Let us pray. God, you have been with us these past 70 years. Stay with us now as we walk joyfully into the future you have created for us, showered and overpowered and empowered by all the blessings you have promised to give us. May our faith increase, may our joy never decease, and may we continue to be and bring the good news of your love, mercy, and justice into our community and our world. Amen.
Still away, still away, still away. Still.